He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Don Bain, and of course, I am the Gadget Professor. We are coming to you live and in color from our Scottsdale, Arizona studio. Welcome, everyone. We have an interesting show for you tonight. I'm actually going to show you how to modify something that runs on batteries, and it's an interesting show. I've never done anything like this before, this technical, but I think you'll find this very interesting. But before we get started, I want to thank everyone for watching. We are now heard in 172 countries around the world, and I have you to thank you for that. Of course, you can email me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com, thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. And if you want to know how to watch the show, that's pretty easy. Just go to our website, and that's www.thegadgetprofessor.com, thegadgetprofessor.com, in the upper right-hand corner somewhere here. Here you go, newsletter. If you click the newsletter, put your email address in there. Every Thursday night, as soon as the show is ready, you will get the show notes. What is that? Totally free. I don't send out your email addresses. I only send you the show notes. It's a synopsis of everything that we covered during the show. Everything's hot linked, so you don't have to remember all the apps that we have and the URLs. It's on the show notes, and it makes a great reference point. Now, what we're going to do today is, this is a project that's been put off for about 2 years, and I finally decided to get it done, but I'm sure you have different types of appliances and objects around the house that run on batteries. This happens to be what's called a ring light, and I actually use this to do my lighting, and it doesn't have to be a ring light. It could be anything that runs on batteries, and basically the way this works is there's three pen light batteries inside this, and when you push it, the light goes on. It's blinding you, but it makes me look like a superstar. So this runs on batteries, and it works very well. It's a very high-quality piece of equipment. What happens is this is good for about 2 or 3 hours, and the batteries are shot. Then you got to throw out the batteries and put in three new ones. That's not a big deal, but it gets to be a pain, and lots of times I do shoots where I need this on for quite some time, and the batteries start to dim. Consequently, the lights dim. So you may have any object that there is that doesn't necessarily need to work on batteries, and it would work fine on a power plug, which this does not have. So ideally, I would like a little power plug on this so that when I want to use it on AC, because this light just sits up there, so I just want to plug it into a DC adapter and let it run forever. So I'm going to modify this, and I'm going to show you exactly how that's done. So let's take a look. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to do, obviously, is to take this apart. And whatever object you have that you're going to change over from battery to DC power, you're going to have to take it apart. So you're going to have to find out where the screws are, and you're going to have to be very careful. You need to keep track of where the screws are, or if you got to pry something apart. Clearly, some of these devices will be more hard to adapt than others because you can't get inside of them. This one, however, was pretty easy. So let's take a look at what this actually looks like inside. I've taken this apart. So here we are on camera two, and I'm going to navigate my way around. You're going to need a couple things. You're going to need a meter, which is exactly what this is. And this is an AC-DC meter, very easily affordable, and they're around everywhere. You can get them on Amazon for about 10 bucks. But this comes with two probes, a positive and a negative. The red is always the positive, and we're going to turn this on, and it's just going to basically read the voltage. So I am going to just show you how this works for a second. So there is our camera, and as you can see, that's set to 000, which means there's nothing, no voltage coming through. And I'm just going to take a battery, single volt battery, and of course these are 1.5 volts, so that's what this should read, about 1.5 volts. So I'll put the positive tip here, and the negative tip is going to go right there. And if I look at the monitor, it's 1.4 volts, close enough to 1.5. So at least we know that. And, you know, quite frankly, I know that this is quarter volt, 1.5 volts anyway. So the other thing you want to figure out is what's the current. So in order to go to the current here, and the capacity of this is, as we know, it's 1.5 volts. It's not rocket science there. And the amperage, this is an alkaline battery, varies between 1,800 and 2,600 milliamps. And the reason you want to know that is because you have to choose the proper power supply so you don't burn out the device that you're looking at. So I have three batteries that are in this device, and let's take a look at that. You can see there's three batteries, one, two, and I'm holding the third one here. The plate, luckily for me, just came right off. It was not a big deal. I just unscrewed that, and this is what I'm left with right here. So there's three batteries, as you can see, one, two, and the third one goes here. And just to show you, these are in series, which means if one is out, there's going to be no current passing and the device will go off. So I'm just going to put this back and you'll see this light up. So you can clearly see that it's lit. And now I'm going to pop the battery out and the light went off. So they're in series and you can clearly see the wiring, the plate that actually connects one battery to the next. So this actually is pretty simple. So the next thing you want to do is you want to take this meter right here and you want to find out where the connection is, positive and negative. So the switch actually for this device is right here. And I almost don't care about that, but what I do care about is these two points, if you could see them right here, one, two, these two little wires, that's where the positive and the negative come in. And how do I know that? Well, I'm going to measure it. So I'm going to put this battery back in. It will light up. And now I'm going to take my voltmeter once again. We'll move this back a little bit here so you can see. Let's turn the camera a little bit. And now I am going to measure the voltage on those two points to make sure, absolutely sure, I have the positive and negative. So I'm going to put my negative here and my positive right here. And let's turn that around. One, two, right there. So I am reading 3 volts, and I'm going to show you that. And the reason I'm reading 3 volts is because this is taking some current, clearly, because it's on, and the bulbs take up some current. So I'm going to go there and there. And as you can see, it's 3 volts. Now I'm going to pop this battery out, and I should read nothing. And there we go, we read absolutely nothing. What I need to do now is to go back to this main point here where I have located the positive and the negative, and I need to power that somehow. So what I have done is very simple. I found an old power supply. Now I know that I have 3 1-volt, 1.5 volt batteries. So 3 plus 1 is 4.5 volts. That's how much power this device takes. Again, there's 3 batteries, they're 1.5 volts a piece. That totals up to 4.5 volts. So I have a power supply and it's plus and minus, so it's DC. I have a power supply, a junk one that's been sitting here, and I'm sure you have these laying around by the hundreds. I do. This is 5.3 volts, 150 milliamps. So this will very easily and adequately provide power for those 3 batteries. So what you're going to do, it's very simple. I don't care what kind of jack is on the end of this. It just doesn't matter. You're going to cut it. Don't cut it with the power on. Take it out and just cut it. So you're going to cut the end off and just literally put it aside, save it for a rainy day. And you're going to be left, you're going to split the 2 wires, and this is what I'm left with. So I have the power pack and the end of it with no end on it. And these 2 wires here at the end, I've actually soldered these together, and I'll show you that. And I've what's called tinned them. So there's a little bit of solder on each end, and I want that there because I'm going to heat this up when I solder it, and I want it to connect very quickly. If you don't tin these, then it's going to take a little bit longer, and I don't want any more heat on that circuit than I have to have. As a matter of fact, I'm using a Weller solder gun, and I have to tell you, I've had this exact gun since I was 14 years old, and it still works. Awesome. You may want to use a soldering iron because it doesn't put out as much power, but this is 2-speed, if you will, and I know how to use this, so we should be okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to go back to this device, and I am going to solder the positive and the negative to this connector here. So my positive is going to go here, my negative is going to go here. All right, so let's take a look at how we do this. My power supply is actually plugged in. I have my meter, and let's take a look at exactly what we're doing. So here's my meter. It's set. There's nothing going in it, so it's 0, 0. Here are my probes. And here are the actual leads. I've cut and stripped the cable at the end of the power pack. Here they are. And now I'm going to take my lead, and I'm going to put my positive here and my negative here, just like so, one in each wire. Right, we can see that. There's the two probes, 1, 2, and if you look at the meter, it says 8.5 volts. If I have it reversed, it's going to say negative, so I'll know the positive is obviously going to be the plus and the negative. So now it says negative 8.5 volts. So just based on that quick test, I know that this side is the positive side and this side is the negative side. So I don't forget, I've actually put a little knot. A marker, you could put a piece of tape, you could just remember it in your head. But I clearly have the positive lead marked, and that's where it's going to go on the power supply. So now if I go back and I look at my device, let's move this meter here. If I look at the device, here's my point, and here's the positive right here. Let's move this up. Okay, here's the positive is going to go here, and the negative is going to go here. It's very important that you get that correct. You don't want to reverse the polarity. There's the positive and there's the negative, and that's where I'm going to do the actual soldering. So what I've done is I've taken a power supply, I've cut the end jack off, I've stripped the cables, and I have located the positive and the negative side. I've marked it so there's no confusion, and I've soldered, I've tinned the ends of it, and I've clearly found and marked where that electrical connection has to be. And now I'm ready to actually solder this together. So let's take a look and see how that goes. All right, so what I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to remove all the batteries because I don't want them in there. I'm not going to need them anymore. And the next thing I'm going to do is, again, double check my solder point, which I know is going to be right there, no question about that. And we'll just prop that up there for the time being. My wires have been marked. I know what the negative and the positive is. And now I'm just going to solder here and here, these points. So the first thing that you want to do is I want to make these leads quasi-short. So I'm just going to trim these up a little bit. And that's about the size that I actually want these to be. Okay, so I'm sliding the wire through the back side of this because the wire, I'm not putting it on a jack. I should, but I'm not going to. I'm just letting the power supply attach as it will, because it's for the most part going to be stationary for what I'm doing. So now I'm going to take this positive wire here, and I'm just going to bend it back. I'm trying to keep my hands out of here. But I'm going to bend it back, and I'll bend it, actually pre-bend it. And I'm going to get it as close to that solder joint as I can, but just a hair away from it. So that looks good, and I'm going to clamp that down. Okay, so that's actually held in place. And I'm going to solder that right now rather than try to solder them both at the same time, because when the iron's hot, I don't want to inadvertently bump the other one and desolder that. So I'm clicking the solder gun. It's on. You can see the little light here, I think. There you go. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to clean off the tip of my soldering gun. I'm going to wait till it gets hot. And I've always found this to be very helpful. It just, when you have a clean tip on the iron, it will solder quicker and better, and the heat will transfer better. So that's what I've done, and that should be piping hot at the moment. And now I'm going to release the trigger a little bit so it doesn't get too hot, and right now I'm going to solder that joint. So let's take a look at that. Okay, it doesn't take much. And there it is. That's on there pretty tight. And that's good to go. Now I'm going to do the negative lead. And again, you want to make careful when you're make sure when you're soldering that you don't have any solder spill over into that little track here, these two tracks, because that will short it out and it won't work and you will do more damage than good. So I'm going to take the other wire, I'm going to bend it a little bit so I can clamp it, and I'm going to move it towards the other side because I can, so I don't have any chance of having it short against the other positive wire. So now I'm dealing with the negative wire, and I'm going to bend that in shape. Okay, and I'm just going to slide it so slightly back because, again, I'm close to that other track. And that looks good, and now I'm going to repeat the same thing. I'm going to heat up the soldering gun and take a little piece of solder here. And now very carefully, I'm going to solder this next joint. So I want to make sure my iron is good and hot. That should do it. Okay, I need a little bit more there. I don't like the way that looks. I'm going to hit it one more time. That did it. Okay, so I'm going to inspect very carefully and make sure that nothing is touching. And that looks pretty good to the gadget professor right there. So once again, there's my positive lead, there's my negative lead. Very easy to find the solder points. It's on there tight. Now I'm going to plug it in and see what we got. Let's take a look. All right, so clearly it works. I'm a happy camper, and it's plugged in. And from now on, I don't have to use batteries anymore if I don't want to. I will just plug this device in, and away I go. So there is one cool way that you can retrofit your devices. Again, you got to make sure that you can take them apart. You got to make sure that you have the right transformer, AC, DC, in the right polarity, positive and negative. And you want to make sure that you test the wiring before you actually solder it. So you may just want to hold the two wires there and actually test to see that it's right. You don't want the batteries in there when you're testing it. You don't need the batteries. The whole point of this is to eliminate the use of batteries. So I'm pretty happy with this now. I got my ring light and I just turn it on or plug it in or unplug it. I could have gotten really cool and soldered it on the switch side, but why bother? It's either going to be on or it's off, and I can actually switch the outlet. So this solves a problem for me that's been bugging me for quite some time. And now let's go to some apps of the day. All right, let's take a look at some apps. Everybody loves apps. Here is the official, and I do mean the official, 100 best apps of 2017 for your Android system. You want to check this out. There's some crazy apps here. It's really well organized, and I think you will like that. Moving right along, we don't want to forget the iPhone fans, and here's a list again for the 100 awesome best apps for the iPhone. And of course, we don't want to forget the Android tablet, if you will. Here's 100 Android apps that will transform your tablet. And you know what? Sometimes, even with the iPhone, apps that go on the iPhone and apps that go on the tablet iPad are not the same. And then last but not least, I have dug out and I've checked these all out. Here's 100 awesome apps for your Android that will transform if you have like a Samsung or an Android-operated tablet. And I'll tell you, you look through these things and you think you know everything, but you're going to find some cool apps in here that are really going to make a difference and are totally new. You just didn't know that they were around, so you need to search that. And I've got a lot of mail about installing Kodi. And Kodi was this operating system that you're going to put typically on an Android device. I put it up on the Kindle, on my Kindle device, and it went real easy. But a lot of people have been asking me about putting it on the Roku. So here's a good article that I have found that tells you how to do that. And again, you have to decide for yourself whether you want to take the chance and use Kodi. What Kodi is used for, that you put some servers on there and you can get all kinds of stuff, movies and other things. I'm not making that value judgment. I'm just here to give you the information. So this site is pretty interesting, and it's fairly fairly easy to follow. And it's basically how to install Kodi on your Roku device. And to me, the Roku device is probably one of the easier and most robust devices out there. So if you want to cut the cable, I in general definitely recommend the Roku over everything else. You can decide what you want to put on the Roku, what channels you want to put or what software you want to put. That's up to you. But in general, when I'm asked what's the best media player to use, you know, Apple TV, the Fire Stick, you know, there's a million of them out there. I, hands down, have always preferred the Roku, I think, for ease of use and just a large variety of channels and just so many crazy things that you can do with the Roku. That's my choice of the day and probably the month, probably the year. But you never know what's going to happen in 2017. There's all kinds of things out there. So that will wrap it up today. I hope you enjoyed this unusual technical episode. I will be back next Thursday night. So long. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye from the Gadget Professor.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain.
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on The Gadget Professor or would like to appear on The Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.